Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2025 Cognizant Classic, the Honda Classic, for those old school people out there. Get you ready for that. Recap a little bit of the Mexico Open and more. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
Man, I'm struggling. LAGC is down early 1-0 here after Ricky just buried a
just ridiculous
40 footer
again. The green's got the hills in it today.
Wow. Oh, well, he was on top of it. I don't know if we were chatting before this, and I don't know if you were paying attention as we were
I saw it, but
quite the start there for but I'm good, man. I'm just playing. I'm good. Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing well. Just, you know, I'm glad YouTube TV tells me what I like to watch. Otherwise, I'd be missing, the TGL again because it's somehow on at 5. You told me there's a doubleheader today. That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
When I catch it, I've enjoyed it lately, unless Jupiter's playing, because I love Tiger, but it's getting rough to watch.
Buddy.
Watch those boys go out there. So
it is.
Yeah. So we'll see how this goes. But Mexico Open, we got a playoff. Ben Campbell wins it after hitting
Brian,
a tree.
Brian Campbell.
Sorry, Ryan Campbell.
It's Brian.
Rye. Even better. See, I'll get it eventually. Dude just made a career earnings. I should probably learn his name. Rye Campbell. Ryan. That's what I said. You kept telling me no.
No, it's Brian. B-R-I-A-N.
Oh, like my name.
Yes.
Brian.
Yes.
Even better. Brian. See, I knew it was a B. It confused me. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll catch you guys next week. Brian Campbell wins on the third playoff hole where you could tell both of these guys were quite nervous is the best way I'll put it. The way they played so lights out for 72 holes pretty much to just dribble down their legs multiple times. And Brian Campbell got very lucky on that shot out of the trees. Like, it was amazing. But what are your thoughts on it? Because I got to watch the playoff. I got home for like last – I literally sat down for the birdie putts on 18 that forced the playoffs.
Yeah, I can tell you didn't watch the 18 before the playoff.
I would have known his name for sure by then.
They were not playing very well. I mean, it was like just hold on and just hold on tight and just – I mean, because Aldrich, I'm going to call him Aldrich, he had like a two-shot lead going into it. I think he shot even, which is pretty respectable, but they couldn't chip. I mean, it was like really sketchy, and I really thought somebody was going to run him down, like Aaron Rye, especially. I thought he was right there, especially after we told everybody on this podcast last week that he was not playable.
Yep.
But anyways, yeah, it was definitely a battle of like, just who can fuck up the least. And Brian's drive on the second playoff hole was one of the worst drives I've ever seen from a PGA Tour professional. Now I have no idea how that came out of the woods, because it was like deep in there, and it comes out, lays it up perfectly, hits it to 3 feet, knocks it in, and it's over. But yeah, Aldrich's, man, dude had like a mid iron into the green and hits it in the bunker. I don't know how you miss club that bad, or if you miss hit it, but it was the Mexico Open, man. It was kind of what we expected, just an absolute shit show.
Yeah, some chalk got through, other chalk not so much. We saw the scoring as we expected. Bomber's paradise. Aldrich's that interaction with his caddy before he found the bunker. I believe the caddy told him to factor in the wind. Aldrich said no and went into the bunker. So that was an interesting situation there. Yeah. I did notice, again, only watched the last putts on 18 and then the playoffs. Lots of airtime for dad and girlfriend on that. Lots of airtime for that. Like, my goodness. And the only other thing I'll say, and maybe it was different through the first 18 since you watched it, but Nota Begay, not a fan right here. Like, these guys, yes, they're making some very bad shots, as we mentioned, for like you and I mentioned, for professionals, but two guys trying to get their first wins, the pressure that's on there, you'd think he'd understand that. And he was like just bombing on them for some of the shots they made. Like,
I had needed. Yeah, I had it muted. I was just kind of watching on my second TV, so I wasn't even listening, but doesn't surprise me. I'm not a huge fan of him.
Yeah, either. I was like, dude, like these guys are trying their darndest. This is the biggest stage they've ever had. Like, let's just cut it out here for a second. But
I'm with you.
I digress. All right, let's head to the Cognizant, the Honda Classic, and see what we can put together here. It's a better field than last week, but still kind of getting ready for the players. Did you want to talk at all about a potential merger? Or do you want to wait till that actually happens? Because,
buddy, there's, I think that's all bullshit.
Smoke and mirrors. So, yeah. The other thing is for those that are probably listening on Tuesday, the full swing season 3, get it on. We'll probably talk about that next week for sure.
We'll be able to watch that before next Monday for sure.
All right. So what do you got for Cognizant Classic history?
Yeah. Last year, Austin Eckroat was the winner, 17 under 3 shots over Minwoo and EVR. 2023 was Chris Kirk, 14 under in a playoff over Eric Cole. Sepp Straka was the 2022 champion, 10 under 1 shot over Shane Lowry. 2021 was Matt Jones, 12 under 5 shots over Brandon Hagee. 2020 was Sung J.M., 6 under 1 shot over Mackenzie Hughes. Keith Mitchell was the 2019 champion, 9 under 1 shot over Ricky and Brooks. Justin Thomas, past champion. Ricky Fowler, past champion. Adam Scott, past champion. Russell Henley, back in 2014, champion. That's probably about as far back as we need to go there. But yeah, I was looking at this list, man. Like, doesn't tell me anything.
Yeah, it's a big reason is if for those living under a rock, there's water everywhere on this golf course. So it just takes like one or two bad shots and the whole thing implodes. That's why EVR, look at his just history here. He finished second here last year, I believe you said. He's also missed cuts. It's just all over the board with him. That's a factor for most guys here. Not all. Some have done at least make the cut regularly here, but maybe not finish well because of said water balls. We're talking about PGA National over here in Orlando, Florida. This is the place where, you know, was it API or is this the one that Jason Day withdrew and it was at Disney World the next day?
I think that was API. I'm pretty sure that was Arnold Palmer.
So that's next week. API is next week. Yes. So that would make sense. Okay. It just always reminds me of that. That's the best picture ever. Seeing him the next day on like the Toy Story ride with his family. It is unbelievable stuff there, especially when he was chalky that week. All right. Yeah. PGA National par 71, 70, a little less than 7,200 yards. Used to be a par 70. They made the, I believe, the 10th hole a par 5, or the 9th hole a par 5 now instead of a par 4. It's pretty open because after you leave the fairway, you get a little bit of rough, and then you're in the water again almost everywhere. They want you to lay up because there's a lot of water to get into greens you have to worry about. There's dog legs involved. The greens are super hard, so you got to be able to scramble because it's going to be hard to keep the greens potentially. There is rumor there might be some rain early this week, so that could change things. But there's 26 areas of water on this golf course. So it comes in on 15 holes right now. So you got that going for you. 8 of those 15 are approach shots, so they're around the green. Have fun with that, everybody. And then on 11 holes, it incorporates your drive. If you go left, if you go right, stuff like that. So you need to be pretty accurate with the driver. It is a shorter course. You don't always have to hit the driver, which actually helps some of these guys out. It's a short course on tour standards, but again, the water and the forced layups change things up. It is one of the shorter courses in terms of par fives and par fours on this course, but again, the layups, the dog legs kind of change things a bit there. It's just water ball central. You really need to be able to scramble your butt off. You need to be able to save par. I think when they made the changes, the score under par total was like around 1.5. Usually it was like over 1.5. So you just need to, again, simple game, stay out of the water. But that's the key here. What stats are you looking at?
Yeah, I mean, off the tee matters quite a bit because, like you said, you got to keep it dry. Plenty of course history to wait. Scrambling, you mentioned that. Bogey avoidance is key, too. I mean, you got the winning score here. Last year was 17 under. I do believe it was pretty wet. And
that helps a lot.
Like, maybe not windy at all. I can't remember exactly last year, but 17 is kind of an outlier.
Yep.
14 the year before, but it was 10, 12, 6, 9, 8, 12. So it's going to be right there, I think, around the 10 again. They're supposed to get some rain at least today, but it should be clear and everything, you know, in Florida dries up pretty quickly. So I wouldn't really worry about that after this rain moves through today. But yeah, that's about it.
All right, let's get into the DK for the week against a full field, T65 and ties. Make it to the weekend. We have two players over $10,000. Russell Henley at 10-7, Shane Lowry at 10-5. Where do you go here? 10-7, impressive number.
Yeah, it's just odd. I mean, obviously, I know he's won here in the past, but, I mean, since then, his best finish was third in 2021. There's a miscut in there. It's not like this is Rory McIlroy we're talking about here. It's a very odd price, which means he probably won't be very high owned. You know, I think a lot of people will click Shane. Fourth, fifth, second in his last three appearances at this tournament, coming off a 39th at the Genesis, second at AT&T Pebble Beach. So I think a lot of people will click Shane versus Russell, but it's hard not to do that with Shane's course history and then, you know, coming in with at least a second place finish in the last couple of weeks. Like, Russell's best finish was fifth at AT&T. So, I mean, it's not like he's playing terrible golf, but, you know, we're talking about paying for one of the highest priced guys here, which is just, this isn't the place to do it, in my opinion, either one of them. Like, they're just, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't need to pay for these two. I'm glad they're priced up here, though, because Henley would have been chalk central at this golf course.
Sure.
So to see him paid up, like, and he rates out well. He's 10th in my model. He's 5th in fairways gained. He's 8th on the par 4s. These are all things you need to dominate here. He's decent in putting. On the short approaches in, 125 to 150, he's 11th. He outrates, Shane's 21st in my model. It's still good, but Russell rates out very, very well. If I was going to go up here, I'll go Russell. I am doing 20 max. I'll probably have a little bit of both. I prefer Russell in this range. I don't think you need to go in this range is the point. The only reason to go in this range is to avoid the chalk that's going to be coming below you in the 9K range, but that would be about it. And this week with all the water balls is a great week to embrace volatility in ownership. Like, this is a phenomenal week to play against the chalk potentially, because your chalky guy literally can be 2 ounces away from going home early type stuff.
100%. It's always carnage here too, man. It's so, like one of the lowest 6-6 percentages of the whole entire year.
Yeah, so this is a perfect week to do that. So that's why I'm not going to cross out the 10K range, because I believe, like, I'll start here. In the 9K range, you got Berger at 99. I've heard his name a ton, and I've listened to two things. Like, two just pretty, like, is it's names everywhere. And it's all over Twitter. Everyone's betting cards. So Berger's at 99, Sungjae 98. Like, Sungjae should be in the top tens, you would think. Maybe not. I know he's played rough of late, but just name value alone would get him up there.
Yeah.
Hendrith at 95, Sepstraka 94, Denny McCarthy 93, Minwoo Lee 92, Keith Mitchell 91, Benny on 9,000. Where do you pencil things in the 9K range?
Berger. I mean, I get why people want to click him. When he was playing good golf, he had back-to-back top fours here in 2022 and 2020. So last year he missed the cut, but this is a different Daniel Berger than there was, you know, than it was a year ago, even 12th and second in his last two starts on tour. So yeah, he's playing mighty fine. Sepstraka 9,000. I mean, he's played here a bunch, missed the cut last year, but fifth, won it in 22, 33rd, 27th, coming off a missed cut at the Genesis, 78, 76. Not really sure what happened there, but had been playing really, really good golf before that. 15th, 7th, 1st, and his three appearances before that, or his three starts before that. Minwoo at 9,200. Second last year, 26th the year before that. 48th, Genesis. 12th, Phoenix. Playing very well. Keith Mitchell is probably another guy. I'm sure if you've listened to a couple podcasts, I've mentioned Keith. 9th and 9th in his last two starts at this event. Made 4 cuts in a row. It's hard for me to click on Keith, but the kind of course history is there for it to happen. My favorite play, just go ahead and give it away, is Minwoo in this range, 9,200.
I like it. Yeah, and the thing with Berger, I have him checked off just because he is number one in my model. You mentioned the history here of late, not to mention the current form, which you mentioned as well. Over the last 24 rounds, he's first in this field in par 4 scoring. He's 5th from 125 to 100. He's 11th in fairways gained. He's 12th in bogey avoidance. He just does everything right now. He's 4th off the tee, which is what you want to be really good at this golf course. So I don't fault anybody for playing Daniel Berger. Just know it's going to come with a large ownership number behind his name. That's how it's going to be when you look at Daniel Berger. So if you want to go with it, that's fine. I'm not going to full fade him, but just beware that is going to take place. Sepp Straka, I love at $9,400. He's 14th in my model. His approach game still great. I really kind of enjoy the fact that he missed the cut at Genesis, took the week off. Dude was playing great golf. Won the Amex, 7th at AT&T, 15th at Waste Management. You mentioned his history here. His approach game is ridiculous. Couple weeks off to maybe clear his head, get it right. Who knows? Again, anybody can miss the cut here, but if we're going to play ownership game and maybe he comes in lower, I love Sepp in this range because he can win, let alone top five for you. Wouldn't shock me at 94. Denny McCarthy at 93 is always interesting because we've seen him play tough course as well, like API last year. He was very strong. He's super volatile, but he can get hot with the putter, which is always good if you're trying to scramble. Fifth at the Genesis, 16th at Waste, 58th at the Pro-Am. So I don't mind that, but he's missed three out of the last five cuts here, including the last 2 years. But there's your volatility. Finished third in 2021. So you got that full spectrum of this event. Love Minwoo. I'm with you. And what I love doesn't rate out well in my model, but I'd probably love him for a lot of the reasons you do, is just recent form. He's played well here before. He is very volatile, which makes for GPP goodness. I like that. And I have Keith Mitchell checked off just because he does play well here, but definitely not one of my favorite plays at all. All right, 8K range, Davis Thompson, 89, Cam Young, 88, Max Greizerman, 87, Jordan Spieth, 86, Ben Griffin, 85, Michael Kim, 84, Kurt Kitayama, 83, Patrick Rogers, 82, Eckroat, 81, and Novak, 8,000. They said Spieth committed late on Friday because rumors had it he was not getting an exemption into the API, which made me laugh a little bit. But all right, who you like in this range?
This is like one of my buddies texted me about this, and like it's hard for me to see him doing well this week. So he probably will, because you know just as well as I do how far offline he's been hitting the ball off the tee, especially if you watched any of the Waste Management. Yep. I didn't see anything from the Genesis, but I can tell by him shooting 76, 74, he was not keeping it in the fairway. So yeah, it's an odd decision, but I guess if, you know, you kind of backs against the wall, if you're not getting the API, you got to do something. Davis Thompson, 8,900, 47th here last year, coming off a 13th place finish at Genesis, 36 before that, 58th. So four straight made cuts for him. Model likes him pretty well. Cam Young, man, fourth and 16th in his last two starts. Coming off a missed cut to Genesis. I mean, he's kind of like, you know, reminds me of Spieth as far as his, just, you just never know if, of course, he just absolutely just made a bomb on
PGA. I know, I'm watching that right now.
I'm trying to talk myself out of him. Yeah. But I mean, the course history is there. It's, you know, it's kind of like, just, I don't know. I'd rather not, but I see why people do like him, because, you know, I mean, at this price, he is a better golfer than 8,800 in this field. Like, this is not, he should be, hypothetically, anyways. Michael Kim at 8,400. Now, three straight missed cuts at this event. 57th in 2018, missed cut 53rd. So he does have two made cuts out of six starts in the last 6 years or whatever. But I think this is a different, this is a type of place where, like, you can somewhat throw course history out as far as, you know, if a guy has missed a bunch of cuts in a row, the volatility here is just so great that, like, it's entirely possible for somebody to get good breaks instead of getting bad breaks or being able to hit it better. And he's hitting it better. 13th, 13th, and second in his last three starts. So I do like him. And then Novak at 8,000, 9th, 29th, missed cut, 57th in his four starts here. 13th at the Genesis, missed cut to Pebble Beach, or at Phoenix, but 13th Pebble Beach, third Farmers. So, I mean, the Farmers and the Genesis are like, you got to keep it in the fairway more so at Torrey. Mm-hmm. Kind of like this place, but not as much water, obviously. But
A couple things I want to mention with you. First off, people are going to get annoyed. We keep talking volatility, but it's true, so it's worth remembering. Second, I'm glad you finally said it, because I kept almost saying Torrey, because you need to be accurate. You need to scramble. You need to save par, bogey avoidance. Right. It's just a lot longer, so people might not compare it the same way, but I think you need the same grind out mindset Like, you need to be able to put a bad shot in the rough. It's, I said it before on the Tory show, a bad shot in the rough is like a stroke penalty. It's like going on the drink. So
yeah,
there's a lot to that to me.
The only difference, obviously, is, you know, you hit it in the water, it's automatic penalty. So, yeah. I mean, you still got a, you got a better chance at Tory to get to make par still from hitting in the rough. It's a lot more difficult at at this place. But still, one way or the other, they're similar in that you need to drive it straight and hit the fairway.
Yep, 100% agree. All right, for me in the 8K range, yeah, I agree with everything you said about Cam Young. I always just can't pick him. It's probably to my detriment. The pricing in this field is wrong. I'm with you. But I look at my model. He ranks 116th in this field. Like, it's a lot of red in this model. His scrambling is his best attribute, which is great. But I wouldn't be shocked if he comes out and does it, because eventually he will. I'm going to go to Ben Griffin at 85. Does not rate out very well for me. But when you look at Ben Griffin, fourth at Mexico, 44th Genesis, 36th, 69th, miscut the Farmers, seventh at the Amex. You know, the fall swing was great for Ben Griffin. He's been playing just really, really good golf. Missed the cut here last year, 21st the year before. Again, that volatility. So I'll go to Ben Griffin at 85. I love Michael Kim at 84 for everything you mentioned. Like, he's third in my model, first in par four scoring, first in bogey avoidance. Definite things to look for this week. A guy I'm going to keep going back to because he fits so well, and he just has to get hot with the putter one time, and that's Kurt Kitayama. He's second in my model because he's first up on approach, first in ball striking, second in the long irons, you know, average in the middle irons, seventh in bogey avoidance, 120th in putting. He just cannot putt to save his life, but every part of his game is very good. This one is weird. P-Raj is sixth in my model. P-Raj played well last week. I'm going to throw that out there just for those that are curious. But when you look a little deeper at P-Raj, he hasn't played since 22, finished 64th, missed cut in 21, 21st the year before that. So, yeah, whatever. But he's made at least five of the last six cuts, a 25th, a 3rd, 22nd, 56th, and a 70th with the missed cut. Coming in with pretty decent form, so I'm not opposed to that. I don't mind Ekroat either. Great form. Three of the last four events on tour, 13th or better, one missed cut in there. And obviously has played well here before. And then Novak, I'm with you as well. Like, the form's great. Played well here last year, played well at Torrey. I like this 8K range a lot, obviously. And this is one where I'll start looking at ownership to differentiate on which ones I should like more than the others. All right, 75 to 79. You got Horschel, Smalley, Glover, Spahn, Clanton, Harmon, Moore, Ricky Fowler, who's looking great on TV right now, Johnny Vegas, Gary Woodland, and Seabez. So, who do you like in this range?
Smalley, it's at the top, toward the top there. Course history is not great. Missed cut 55th, but 10th, 21st in his last two starts. So, playing pretty well coming into this. Scrambling very well, and he had a bunch of fairways last week, which is probably pretty easy to do at that resort course. Brian Harmon at 7,700. I think he's interesting because he's played here a lot. I was like, best finish since 2015 was in 2015, and it was 11th. Three made cuts out of 7 years, but played here a lot and coming in pretty solid form, 17th and 25th in his last two starts, which was the Genesis and Phoenix. So I think he's interesting. And then Vegas at 7,500. He hasn't missed a cut here since before 2017. So just continues to just make cuts. Now, his best finish was fourth in 2017, but I mean, it's almost impossible to do given the volatility of this place is to make every cut for the last 7 years. And he's done it at least last seven starts at this event. Two out of two made cuts in his last two starts. He didn't miss the cut at the American Express, but was fourth at the Tournament Champions at Century or whatever. So, yeah, I think Johnny Vegas at 7,500, very, very worthy to put on a lineup this week. Yep.
I like Smalley a lot for all the reasons you mentioned as well. I'll mention Billy Ho. Doesn't rate out well in my model, but if we're talking history at this golf course, 9th, 42nd, 16th, didn't play in 21 to 42nd. So I got four straight made cuts for Billy Ho here. Goes to your Vegas comments as well. And he was playing well in Europe to end last year, but hasn't really, you know, back-to-back missed cuts at Genesis and Waste Management, 9th at Pebble, 21st at Amex. Not the greatest of forms, but a guy that plays great around here. He's a Florida guy, or at least he lives in Florida now, which most of these guys do. But so I don't mind Billy Ho at 79 because I think Smalley will be popular, so he could get a pivot there. If you look at J.J. Spahn, four out of five made cuts here. He withdrew, or in the last five events. He's played with Drew from Waste Management, 34th or better in those five events combined. Hasn't played since 22, where he finished 30th, missed cut in 21. So Pete, he'd be another one. Lucas Glover at 78 has made three straight cuts here at 35th and 30th and a 19th. He's another guy that rates out well in the approach game. He's fourth in my model. He finds fairways ninth best in the field, bogey avoidance ninth. His iron game's on point, scrambling's 15th. So Lucas Glover's another grinder in this one. The Harmon thing stood out to me too, so I'm glad you brought that up, because the form, the inconsistency in that is interesting, but I've played rather well here, surprisingly. I agree completely on Johnny Vegas. And did you mention Taylor Moore, or did I miss that?
I did not.
Okay, so Taylor Moore has made at least five straight cuts on tour, 34th, 9th, 22nd, 56th, and 7th, which is pretty darn good. And then when you look at this tournament in general, he's missed the cut in 2022. It's the only time he's played here. So this is the perfect, do you trust recent form or course history with Taylor Moore? And I kind of lean towards current form in this one, and I'll ride that one out. So lots of interesting pivots in this mid high 7K range. All right, low 7K range starts with Sam Stevens. Nickel. I thought Sam Stevens withdrew, but I could be wrong.
He did. He's not in my field anyways.
Yeah, I just realized that now that I read mine, so I will cross him off. Nikolai Højgaard, Lee Hodges, Harry Hall, all the way down to Bridgman, Chan Kim, and Adam Shank. So who do you like in this range?
Yeah, there's a lot for me, at least. Nikolai Højgaard, 7,400. But I bet him to win last week, and he kind of made a little bit of a push there. A push. And just didn't have a – Do what?
I said he made a push. It's
for yeah, sure. Just didn't have a good enough back nine to yesterday to really kind of get up there, but finished eighth. He has played here one time in 2022, missed the cut. Harry Hall at 7,400, missed cut, 74th in his only two starts at this event, but 34th last week. Been playing really solid golf. We talk about him almost every week. Jake Knapp is shockingly did well here last year. I don't really put Jake Knapp in this type of golf course, but he finished fourth. And then he's coming off a 25th last week, 17th the week before that, 44th, 33rd. Hasn't missed a cut since the American Express, which was mid-January. Bud Cauley, my model, absolutely loves him for some reason. He's made four straight cuts on tour, and he's made three straight at this event. If you take out the one WD in 2018, it's really four straight. But yeah, the best finish was 12th of those events in 2019. So I like Bud Cauley quite a bit. Gerard at 7,300. He had a solid showing last week, if I can get this to load. Why wouldn't it not load? You take over, and I'll see if I can refresh here.
All right, for me, Nikolai I love. He's one of my favorite plays. We talked about Cam Young being mispriced. I think Nikolai Højgaard is mispriced. He's 24th in my model, but that's because most of his stats aren't, you know, are from way back when. I had him as my one and done last week. He was in my core. He's fifth in scrambling over the last 24 rounds, first from 175 to 200, sixth in bogey avoidance. Love Højgaard. Love Lee Hodges. He's 16th in my model. He's probably going to be popular, though. Great, you know, approach game, especially short irons. Fairways gained 17th in this field, 11th in par fours. When you look at Lee Hodges, this is a guy that he's coming up the 57th at Waste, 33rd at the Pro-Am, 9th at the Farmers, 34th at the Amex, which is all outstanding for this. Missed cut here last year, but 14th and 23 and 9th and 22. I like Lee Hodges a lot this week. Harry Hall, I'm with you there. Like, he hasn't played great here, but coming in great form. And he's been a first-round leader machine, did it again last week. So someone to keep in mind if you're in that kind of wagering situation. Seamus Power, $7,300, 8th in my model. He's first in the short iron game. And if you look at recent form, he's made three straight cuts, 24th at Genesis, 36th at Waste Management, 17th at Pebble Beach. And at this event, I don't have him playing for at least 5 years. So you got that going for you. Chris Kirk, if you're a course history guy, he dominates here, 28th or better with a victory over the last 4 years. I like Bud Cauley. He finished 21st here last year, coming in pretty decent form. Nico Echeverria finished 21st here last year. It's kind of where I first learned about who he was. His form has been a little shaky of late, I'll say that much. 34th of Genesis, missed cut, 77th missed cut. Had that amazing fall swing if you want to jump back on that train. CT Pan is always a wild card in a approach game. Find the fairway guy. He's finished 28th, 16th, and 3rd here the last three appearances. So don't sleep on CT at 72. EVR is your ultimate wild card. Second place miscut, 60th miscut. Tom Hoagie is one I want to mention because I hope he gets kind of ignored. Finished 28th here last year before two miscuts. But if you
four miscuts.
Exactly. Mine only goes back to two, so four. Beautiful. But that's good. I want that.
I'm with also you.
Got a recent form, 54th of Genesis, miscut at Waste, 17th Pebble, 20th Amex. We know Tom Hoagie is one of the best approach guys in the game, period. There was a stretch last year, Jesse, where like every show rates out first in approach rates. Like we just know that's who he is. His off the tee is volatile as all get up. That's his point. Right now, he's 136th in bogey avoidance of late, which would make an 112th in fairways gain. That all makes sense based on his finishes. My point is, if we're going to like talk volatility, Hoagie's better than $7,100 in this quality of field, is what I'll say. And so he is a guy that you could probably get a very low ownership. Might just get destroyed on Thursday. Very possible. Also, he's one of those guys like EVR who finished second last year. Wouldn't be shocked if Tom Hoagie's up there in the running for this thing. Sam Ryder's got great course history. He'll be talked about a lot. Sig is coming in good form. And then the only other two I'll mention here, Joel Dahmen, seventh in my model. Great week last week. He's been ultimate boomer bust. Sixth last week, miscut, ninth, and two straight miscuts prior to that, so that is GPP relevant. And if you talk about this golf tournament, missed cut in his only time here last year. So I think he's another one. And obviously, when we get farther down here, it's going to be a lot more volatile because of the strength of the field. So dominant 7K. Don't hate. Are we back, Jesse?
Yeah, we're back. So Gerard, fourth here last year, 17th last week. Kevin Roy, 29th here last week or last year, 17th last week. Sam Ryder, I agree with. And then one more that you didn't mention. Salinda.
Yep.
There we go. Third last week at the Mexico Open. 43rd at the Farmers. He's never played here, but flashed in pretty good form last week. So see if we can roll that into another good week this week.
I like that call. That's another one that could be worth a little GPP splash as well. This whole week should be GPP, by the way. Like, don't get insane.
Yeah, we're not doing cash. We'll just go ahead and say we're not doing cash.
Because you can, if you win cash this week, don't boast. That's all I'm going to say. Like, you literally ran. So, and if you don't put your cash line up in a tournament, just stop playing, period. and this is the week for all of that. All right, 6K range is where things get real dicey, and hopefully you don't need to go too deep into this range. Like, I just stopped at like $6,600, but what are you looking at here?
There's a few. Chris Ventura, he's made four straight cuts on tour. So he's won. Chandler Phillips, his only start here was a WD, but he's made three straight cuts on tour. Rio, 6,600, missed cut last year at this event, but 18th at the Puerto Rican Open. Didn't he play at the Mexico Open?
Yeah, he finished like, I just looked at it a second ago. He finished, where are you, Rio? What's his price tag?
They don't have anything loaded for him. Never mind. Like, just I'm moving on. No, Chris Goddard. He's at 6,600. Goddard up at 6,600 as well. 35th here last year. He is coming off two missed cuts. Mullinax, 6,500. He's made his last two cuts at this event. Missed the cut last week. So, you know, pick your poison there. Carson Young, 6,500. Two out of two made cuts for him at this event. 56th, 29th. Coming off a missed cut. Vincent Norman, two out of two made cuts at this event. This is a guy who's actually made some cuts recently, five out of five for Norman there at 6,400. And then last but not least for me, Will Gordon at 6,300. Two out of two made cuts at this event, coming off a missed cut last week in Mexico.
All right, I got a few here. Mac Messner, $6,900. He's coming in ninth in my model. He's ninth in scrambling, 13th in par four scoring, fifth in bogey avoidance. These are all things I like to see at $6,900. Just going to throw that out there. He's been playing a lot of late. This is where it gets fun, though. Missed cut at the Mexico Open. Missed cut at the Waste Management, 52nd, 68. So he's not finishing high, but he's playing good golf. Wrap your head around that one. I'm guessing they're on the number, if I'd have to look. Missed the now he finished 53rd here last year in his debut. Svensson, missed cut here last year, 49th and 9th. We know he likes to play this Florida, Georgia area on the ledger. Andrew Putnam hasn't played here in a long time, but he's $1,600, decent form. He's made three straight cuts, 49th, 25th at Waste Management, 32nd at the Farmers. Don't hate that. You got Mateo Montecero. He's 33rd in my model. Long iron game is great. He's even the mid iron game, like his approach game in general, very, very good. He's eighth in the field in approach. And if you look deeper at Manicero, 68th in Mexico, 25th at the Farmers, 43rd at the Amex. So he's made three straight cuts on tour. That stands out for me in a big way when we're talking these price tags. Has not played here before. Mark Hubbard is coming in very shaky form, is the way I'll put it. But he's made five straight cuts here, including a 15th and an 11th over that stretch. Do with that what you wish. Zach Johnson. Yes, that Zach Johnson has made four of his last five cuts here, including a 21st, a 12th, and an 8th. He's played well. It's a shorter course. This still fits his weird like skill set. He finished 48th at the Farmers. That's the last event he's played on tour. So I'm just going to throw him out. He's 35th in my model. Like, it's ridiculous, but he rates out well. So I'm going to stop right there. All right, let's recap things, Jesse. I guess you like Lowry. I like Henley is where that conversation went.
Sounds earlier. Good to me.
Yeah. 9K range, you said?
Minwoo.
Yep. I'm going to go with Sepp. I'm going to go with Sepp Straka because everyone's on Berger. Everybody. And again, might not be wrong. 8K range.
Novak.
Novak. I'm going to go with Michael Kim. Wow, that feels weird like to say. That. But that's, yes. 75 to 79.
Vegas.
I'm going to go with, I just got to make sure I don't, Alex Smalley in this one. I should be Glover probably. Alex Smalley, 7K to 74.
Gerard.
Nikolai Hoegaard. Going to keep running that train, but there's a few I like here. It's going to make for some pretty ridiculous builds to watch me miss cuts with. 6K range.
I'll just say the guy at the top up here, Ventura.
I like that call. I'm going to go with Manicero, Mateo Manicero. If you are building a GPP lineup, where are you starting out?
I'm going to go Minwoo, Gerard, and where is he? Bud Cauley.
I'm going to go with Sepp Straka, Michael Kim, and Nikolai Hoegaard. I'm just going to keep it in that world. I'm going to try to keep it very uniform this week. All right, who do you got winning this thing?
So I've made three bets. Novak at 50, Gerard at 75, and Minwoo at 35.
Well, we're on some similar things here because my top 20s, I had Andrew Novak at plus 210 on there. Like Nikolai Hoegaard at plus 230 seems ridiculously good, probably too good to be true. So that's going to backfire on me. Lee Hodges at plus 250 and Sam Ryder at plus 330. Now, if you want to play quote unquote safer for less odds, you can get Lee Hodges top 40 at even money, plus 100. You can get Sam Ryder top 40 at plus 125. If you want to throw another top 40 in there, because I don't believe you'll get a top 20, but I think he's just boring enough to top 40 here. Matt Kuchar's plus 120 to top 40. It's going to say that. He's got the pedigree to just plot around here, finish like four under, and be a top 40 play.
Sure. Like
that's just in a nutshell. Like I looked at his recent finishes. They're all like 30th to 45th, basically. So that just screams what he can do here. All right, that'll wrap it up. New York's looking to pull off the upset of upsets right now. As we're
I should have known, dude. Videos. When you got three guys who can't putt.
Yeah,
on the same theme, and then of course you know they just run completely insanely high. They probably made 100 foot of putts already.
Well, they showed a stat. I think
we were seven holes in.
We were like in the 7K range or something. They showed a stat that the entire series up till now, New York had made 59 feet of putts up through like the fourth hole. Whenever Cam Young made that one, they had made 90 feet already.
Yeah, guaranteed. Just and of course they just tricked a 4-footer there to win the hole. So
yeah.
And it's not even good coming backer here. So we got a little bit of life, but yeah, I like Atlanta this evening. And then there's 0% chance I can bet Jupiter tomorrow.
Never, ever, never, ever. Then again, I thought you could never bet New York either. So here you go.
It's true.
But I would not bet Jupiter.
No.
No. As much as we love Kiz, if Kiz is in the lineup, don't do it, folks.
And Tiger, man. I mean, it's just bad.
It's bad. It's bad. It sucks.
Love him, but.
Yep. Just be happy we got to see him in the good old days.
For sure.
All right. We'll wrap it up there. Make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm Matt Beattie-Entrick. We'll be back with you next week for the Arnold Palmer Invitational Preview. But for now, it's your 2025 Cognizant Classic. Catch you on.